here. It's always a great thing to be in church on Sunday night. Thank you for coming. And I hope you enjoy yourself. Let's stand and read Malachi chapter 3. It's not Malachi for some of you. It's Malachi. All right? And if you go past Malachi, you're going to get to Matthew. So just back up a little bit there. Malachi chapter 3. I was watching this morning when people are turning their Bibles, opening their Bibles, and others opening up their iPads and iPhones and whatever you got. And all of a sudden, can you see this light on me? It's a heavenly glow, amen. But y'all, when you do it, you got a heavenly glow too, amen. So I'm just hoping that you don't text me when I'm preaching, amen. Oh, that was a bad one or something like that, you know. All right, Malachi chapter 3. I heard that there are some preachers now. You can turn that off now. I heard some preachers now that they encourage. Is it called twittering? Yeah. Huh? Tweet?
Tweet on Twitter.
Yeah, well, they tweet the preacher when he's preaching. Yeah. I just turned my thing off. Yeah, that was good. Yeah, all right. All right, Malachi chapter 3. I want to talk to you about tonight about proving God. I think there's so many times that we as Christians, we have these little sayings, and we have these little things that go on in our life, and we really, sometimes, really don't take it for a fact. We take it for granted. And we have so much that God has given to us. And God tells us, I want you to prove me. To me, that's, you know, like this morning I spoke about God's joy is to forgive us and to love us. And there's a lot in that that I don't get. I mean, I've been preaching for 45 years. I just don't get how that God, the perfect almighty God, can forgive us. But he does. Completely. Do we believe the Bible? Of course we do. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's incredible to me because I am human. And you do something to me, I'm going to remember it. Don't look at me like a cow looking at a new gate. You do the same thing. We're very careful about when somebody hurts us or somebody lies to us or somebody does something dishonest to us. We go like, okay, shame on you the first time, shame on me the second time if you catch me doing that, right? But that is the human heart. That is this thing that's so desperately wicked. Who can know it? Yes, we do. We possess the Holy Spirit that is perfect. But many times we do not use the Holy Spirit. Or we do not react to what the Holy Spirit has spoke to us. We say no, and then we don't leave it alone. God help us as Christians to be like, let this mind be in you who is also in Christ Jesus. I fail so miserably in that. So do you. So let's work at it, okay? That's my job as your pastor to encourage you, to get you to understand and get you to think about some things that will change your life. The Holy Spirit would change you completely. I can't change you. The Holy Spirit can change you. If you allow Him, because we all have what we call a free will, you know, and we all do what we want to do. And God allows us to. Now, He will, many times, if not all the times, He will deal with us as His children, as His loving children. He'll deal with us, just like you dealt with your children or used to deal with your children when they were naughty or when they were doing some things that you had told them not to do. And they went against your policy and procedures of your home, and you have to deal with them. And it is our responsibility to deal with them. Amen? Oh, going to be this kind of crowd tonight. Okay, so, all right. I thought Rick just sang you a song to say amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord, all that. I guess we're going to have to sing that often, brother, amen. All right, Malachi chapter 3, beginning verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. That sounds pretty simple. Saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? That's a very interesting word, that rob there. That's when a person steals something, that's in, you steal something, that's when you're in the house and somebody comes in your car and roughs the car and takes stuff out. Right? That's stealing. That's sneaking. Robbing is at gunpoint or at night point or something very dangerous. Robbing is when the robbery, armed robbery, that takes place. So God says, will a man rob God? Will a man stick a knife at the throat of God's throat? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And his answer is what? Tithes and offerings. There's a difference between tithe and difference between offering. There's three ways you can give. One, you can give alms. That means you see somebody that's in destitute, somebody in need, and you just walk up to them and say, hey, here's some food or here's some money or whatever. That's an alm. Tithe is... Years ago, when a farmer would have sheep or lambs, they'd corral them and they'd put them in a chute. And as they got in there, they would take the first one. That was God's. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 was his. One was God's. And on and on. And God said, when you do that, I don't want you to put a sick one in front. I want you just as they come in, the first one comes in. If it's a good one or it's a bad one, it's number one. That's mine. Answer it, brother. It's probably the Lord trying to tell you something, buddy.
Better not fall off.
But anyway. You know, a couple of months ago, I told people to turn their phone off. And guess what? Somebody texted me and it went off. So an offering, a tithe is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, number 1, and on and on and on. Okay, that's your tithe. The offering is this. My wife and I just had a beautiful baby. And we are so thrilled of what God has given to us. I'm going out in the field, and I'm going to find the finest lamb or the finest ox. And I'm going to bring that to the house of God. And I want God to know, I am so thrilled about what you've given me. That's an offering. Offering is the best that you can get. Tithe, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 1, those are tithes to God. 1/10. So the Bible says, ye are cursed with a curse. For ye have robbed even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now here therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out you a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Let's pray. Father, I ask you tonight that you'd help us to look in the Word of God. It is not that we're looking for money. We just want to live by the Word of God. It's not that we are pushing people to give. It's the fact that this is what the Bible says, and this is what we need to do. And just as much the Bible is, for a man is a sinner, and he needs Christ, and he needs Jesus Christ to forgive his sins and ask him to come in heart, he's saved. It's just a principle of the Word of God that we need to know and live by. So Lord, help us tonight, not to chafe at this, but to enjoy it as we come together in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I've heard more people say, well, church needs it, wants his money. Hey, you're going to the Denver game today, you cost money. You go to the Minnesota Twins game, it's going to cost you money. You know what? They're not even embarrassed to ask you $50 for a hot dog. Well, I was exaggerating a little bit, but. You go golfing, they want greens fee. They ought to pay me. I aerate those golf courses. Whack! Mud flying all over the place, amen. You want to go fishing, you got to buy a fishing license. You want to live in America, you've got to pay taxes. And taxes. And taxes. And taxes. And taxes. Why? Because we like police protection. We like fire protection. We like good roads. We like lights. Yeah. So in the Word of God, God talks about money. And they say, that church, they're always talking about money. You know what's the funny thing? You go over to Walmart, and a $20 bill at Walmart looks pretty small. You come to Heritage Baptist Church and put a $20 in that bill, you go, have I done my thing? Don't give me that baloney. We all use money. We all use money. Hey, preacher, did you see my car? Oh, that cost you some money. Or did City Chevrolet give that thing to you? Hey, stop down to Harley. You know what Harley Davidson means, HD? It means $100. It don't mean Harley Davidson. They think they... You know,
hello,
I'm trying. Go down to Sears Roebuck, get yourself a new shirt. They want money. Hey, it is my responsibility as a pastor to make sure that you know what the Bible says. That's my responsibility, to point out things in the Word of God. I want to talk to you about proving God. When I was a boy growing up in a small farm in Michigan, springtime was a busy time of the year. Dad hook up that plow to that old John Deere. Ain't going to mess around that red stuff, amen. John Deere. And that tractor would turn over that soil. Then you hook up the disc to prepare the field. Then you hook up the drag to prepare the seed bed. And after all that work, he planted certified seed along with fertilizer, insecticide, and herbicide. It cost my daddy a lot of money to put that seed in the ground. From the diesel fuel and gas of the tractor, man hours, equipment, certified seed, chemicals. You see, before he ever reaped a single kernel of grain, he had to have faith that he was going to get back a profit. You agree with that? Yeah, he had to have faith. Now, the Bible tells us in Proverbs a lot of things about lazy farmers and lazy people that didn't go out and till the ground in the fall or in the springtime and didn't plant their seed because they were tired and on and on and on. Amen? Well, they had no faith. And the Lord God, He was very, very upset about people like that. How could my dad do that? Because he had watched his father. And his father's fathers plant crops and reap harvests. He trusted by faith to do the same. God's principle of giving, it's same as farming. You can see, or have you ever seen, many have invested in the ministry. A lot of people invest in the ministry. They have brought the Lord's tithe to the storehouse, and we have seen God take care of them miraculously. Amen? When the situation happened to my wife and our family, things were going pretty, as many of you remember, 3 years ago, pretty rough. And my youngest son, Casey, who takes care of all three McDonald's here in town, he said, Dad, he says, I want to do something for you. I said, what's that, boy? He said, let me take care of your finances. Let me run your finances for you. You're so busy with mom. We never left, hardly. We were always at the hospital or at the rest home or at the rehab. And I just didn't have a lot of time. And I looked down and said, he's thinking, he said, well, I handle $8 million right now. I said, I think you're a little. Boy, you talk about being humble, dude. Yeah, okay. And this is what he said after the first month. I don't understand, Dad. I don't understand this. I said, what's that? He says, you're paying your bills, and you still have some left over. He says, it's impossible. He says, all I know is what you give to Heritage Baptist Church, and I know you tithe. Now, my sons all tithe, and they're very careful about that, but he had never seen it because we had $355,000 worth of bills with my wife. That's a whole gob of money for where I come from, amen? And they're being paid. Right now, I think it's around $30,000 what we owe now. I don't understand it. Those of us who have seen members faithfully bring their tithes to the local church realize that it is not a gamble. It is the truth. It just plain works. You sow, you reap, you plant, you harvest. Here is the gospel standard that we are to live by. God tells us in His blessed scripture, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If you will not open the windows of heaven, he said, what? Prove me. Why would God say to this sinner, prove me? God said, you just prove me, Shearer. Just prove me. Lord, I believe in you. He said, well, I'm going to give you something more to believe in. I'm going to show you that the Word of God is true. It's infallible. It is perfect. And it is pure truth. You do what I tell you to do, and I'm going to prove you that I'm right. First of all, God says, you are to bring the tithe, bring in one thing, paying is another. I hear some people say, well, I'm going to pay my tithe. You can't pay your tithe. There's two different things. If you pay something, you actually paying for something with your own money. Money is not ours. It comes from what you have or what you personally own. But bringing is transferring something from one place to the next place. When you bring the tithes of the 10%, it is not your own. It's a first fruit that was taken to the storehouse to your local church. When you bring it, you're being honest and not keeping what is not yours to keep. What God gave us during the week, an amount of fruit or increase, 10%, is to be given back, brought back. We are commanded to hang onto it until the first day of the week. Then, first time we get a chance, we bring it back. And when we do that, He tells us, He promises us, I will bless you. Is that what the Bible says? Absolutely. When we prove Him, we're not a robber. We're not bandits. We're not crooks. We're not thieves. We're not embezzlers. We're not swindlers. We would never cheat our Heavenly Father nor His Son, since we are His human agents to bring into the storehouse so that the earthly work may continue to be accomplished. He promises to bless us. Now think of it. If someone who loves you very much and had saved your life, and they ask a favor of you to do something for them, maybe managed apartment house and told you when renters paid their rent. All he said was, hey, send me on the first 10% of the 90% of it. All the stipulations were he wanted was, I want my what? 10%. I think we'd be jumping up and down and yelling sweet Mississippi all the way to the bank every week with that money, wouldn't we? Whew! I got an apartment house. I got 20 apartments in this apartment house. And they give me $900 apartment. And my friend said, hey, I'll tell you what. Just send me, how much? How much is $900? Just send me $90. Just send me $90 and you keep the rest of it. Sweet Mississippi, I'm on board. I'll mow their lawn. I'll take care of the swimming pool. I'll make sure all the lights on. My goodness, can you imagine? Woo! You say, man, that's good money. How many like a job like that? This increases maybe to your possession every week, but it's not yours. It's only in your possession. Some of my dear deacons that have given me, deacons that you've given me at Heritage Baptist Church, are concerned with a few members don't understand the severity of not being faithful in their responsibility to tithes and offerings every week. Our deacons count your money when you bring it in. There is no way that you can live on what you say you're living on. Now, we have worked it out so that we have different deacons count every service. So we don't know what you gave here or what you gave there. But I'm going to tell you something. God have mercy if you're cheating. Amen or oh me. Yeah, because, hey, what am I doing? Do we need the money? No, church is still going on. We're okay. It's just that I want you to have the blessing of God upon your life. I don't want to have the curse of a curse on you. See, everybody thinks preachers always asking for money. The reason I ask you to give, bring your tithe, is that I want you to be blessed. And I want your wife to be blessed. And I want your children to be blessed. And I will promise you this, if you don't prove God and do what God says, you're not going to get the blessings God said He'd give you.
Yep.
Well, it scares me to death when people don't tithe. This scares me to death. Hey, Mrs. Hobbs, in the last 3 years, she's our bookkeeper, have I ever come to you and said, I want to see what people are giving in our church? No. Don't do it. You got a problem with God. You don't got a problem with your preacher. You got a problem with your Almighty God who created this magnificent universe. If you are not doing what God tells you to do, you're in trouble. God says, I'll curse you with a curse, you robber. How dare you take a dangerous object to my throat and say, give me it all. That's what you're saying. Do you agree with that? Robbing. I bring this to your attention because I fear that you don't understand the Word of God. And at Heritage Baptist Church, I'm going to use this word very carefully, but we pride ourselves, and I mean that in a good way, we pride ourselves that we live by the rules and regulations of this holy book. We believe this book from cover to cover, from Revelation to Genesis, from generation to revolutions. We believe it all, amen. I mean, we even believe a word it says about the King James and how he did. We believe this book. This is our precious book. This is our rule of thumb. This is the accuracy of we can come and say, what does the Bible say? This is what the Bible says. And how can we say this is what the Bible says when we don't do what the Bible says? That means that we're going against the principles of the Word of God. We affirm that the Word of God is our final authority. Amen? Is the Word of God our final authority? What does the Bible say? There's a situation happening right now. I can't let you in. It's not here at our church, but another church. And there are biblical principles that this person is trying to do, and he can't do it because the final authority says, the Bible says, you can't do that. He's a bit pastor. This is an antiquated old book. You can call it what you want, buddy. But this is my love letter to me from God. And every book and every page and every word is sacred to me. That's why I stick by the old King James. I don't want somebody taking words out of my Bible. Say, well, that didn't belong in the original text. Were you there? Why is it we have antiquated old Bibles that have the whole Word of God, and then we got some city slicking Greek know-it-all? By the way, can I just pull over a while? That one of the easiest languages in the world is Greek. It's one of the easiest languages to learn. They're Greek scholars. Wow, cool. And so Mickey Mantle was a little leaguer too. That's why it's AV on your Bible, Authorized Version. Why? All the churches got together and said, this will be our authorized version for the church. Isn't that funny how that just a few years ago changed? And most of it, and if they be honest, it changed because they can make more money by writing more Bibles and make it copyright. How can you copyright God's Word? That's God's Word, stupid. I'm sorry, imbecile. You can't copyright God's Word. This is what God said. Oh, the pastor, we gotta get with the new stuff. Just give me the old path. I'll take the old world. Did you know that most people don't memorize the Scriptures anymore because nobody has the same wording. Nobody has the same verses. Boy, old Satan, he's slick, isn't he? I, as your pastor, am to instruct you in the Word of God, to preach the whole counsel of God. God placed these promises in His Word. He placed these judgment in His Word. Straight out, straight forward, straight point, without hesitation or question. If you're not tithing, you're not willing to trust God. And frankly, you're robbing God, and you're a bad example for Christ and those that worship here. Did you hear what I said? You're a bad example. Shame, shame, shame on you. But preacher, I can't afford to. You can't not afford to tithe. We don't need your money. Get this. Get it over and over again. We don't need your money to come on here. I will tell you something. You need a tithe because of what you're doing to your wife and your children. You are the one that's causing a lot of problems in your home. Because you're going against the principles of the Word of God. You say, I didn't come for that tonight. Hey, you know what? I didn't know you were going to be here, and this is what God laid on my life to preach tonight. Okay? So don't be so proud to think that I would change my message for you. Oh, yeah, preacher. Are you kidding me? Are you out of your mind? I'm just trying to help some of you people who are piddling around and messing with God instead of get in, get on the road, and serve God. So, but Pastor, I just can't. Yes, you can. Or God's a liar. Either you believe what the Bible says or you're a liar. Or if God doesn't do what He said, He's a liar. He said, prove me. Bring it on. That's what He says. Come on. Prove me. He said, Pastor, we've never tithed. Huh. I feel sorry for you. You know the blessings of God can be upon you, but all the blessings that God will continue to give you and bless you with. I feel sorry for you. That's why I'm here preaching for you. Not because I'm getting after you. Not to try, I'm trying to jack slap you tomorrow. I'm not trying to do that. I just want you to know that this is what the Bible says. And you have a free will and you can choose. Ah, that pastor always wants money. No, I don't want your money. Mrs. Hobbs wants your money. I don't want your money. She calls up and says, Pastor, how am I going to pay this? I said, I don't know. I said, God will take care of it. And then she says, He always has, hasn't He? I said, yep. Yep. We're debt free. Been debt free for over 5 years at Heritage Baptist Church. Brother, he was doing really good while he was sleeping on the floor. He fell off your leg? Well, let him crawl. Where's he going to go? I think we ought to have nurseries for grandpas. I said we ought to have nurseries for grandpas. How on earth can God bless this place? How can God bless this ministry with robbers and thieves among us? When I was a little boy, there's a popular little jingle that kids would say, Finders Keepers. Oh, you ran around the same kids as I did, huh? Finders Keepers, Losers Weepers. That's stealing. It's not yours. I was out golfing one time. Brother Gibbons and I and Bart Dame and a couple other guys, we were out golfing down in Big Sky. Beautiful golf course. Well, we made a mistake and turned the girls loose with our golf carts, and we were golfing. But they're out in the golf carts, of course. I don't know how many balls my wife picked up and said, look what I found. And all of a sudden I said, hey, lady, put that ball down. Find your keeper, losers, weepers. I said, Marcia, don't do that. Well, I found it. I said, I know, they're golfing over there. Oh. Now, if they hit one real close, you're supposed to go like this. Walk away, y'all. Just because God has given you something to hang on for in a couple days, and at most a week, does not make it yours. Brother, what are you doing over there, them kids? The dad's going to take him out and whoop on him, amen. You say, yes, it may be in your possession, but it does not belong to you just because you got it or found it. That is why we are to be very careful to keep it until we're to bring it to the storehouse. Listen, His promise to you for bringing it back, for taking care of His promise is this. Listen, I will pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. What a promise. What a promise. First of all, to prove God, we must, yes, I said, must seek His kingdom of God first. Throughout the whole Bible, God promises blessing to those that seek to do His will. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Luke chapter 18, verse 29 and 30, and He said unto them, verily, verily, verily I say unto you, there is no man that have left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. That's God's promise to us. There's a lot of preachers that leave their home. I left my home when I was 19 years old, went away to Bible college, 22 years old. I was married, and my wife and I worked for my father-in-law, Bernie Fry, at the Calvary Baptist Church of Wells, Minnesota. Worked there a year and a half as a youth pastor. All of a sudden, the Delavan Baptist Church came open, and they said, Sheldon, will you come be our pastor? I said, yes. When I said that, I May I back up just a little bit? Will you listen to this? I had went home in 1970, Christmas in 1970, and sat at the dining room table with my father, and my dad says, "What you going to do?" And I said, "Dad, I don't know." I said, "I've been begging God for knowing what to do for my life." He said, "Why don't you come home and farm?" He said, "The Wells people, the Mills family, they want us to take over that farm. And the Smith family wants to take that farm. And the Raymonds want us to take over that farm." And he had a whole bunch of farms all ready to go because they're at that generation gap there and they didn't have children and they wanted us to come and rent and farm that. I said, "Dad, that sounds like a lot of fun." He tears in his eyes and says, "Son, I've always wanted to have Shear and Sons farm." And I said, "Whoopee-doo, let's do it." He said, "Okay, this is what we're going to do." My dad said, "This is what we're going to do." He said, "Tomorrow we're going down and we're going to find so-and-so. They build brand new homes. And we're going down and we're going to have an architect draw up a nice home for you. And we're going to have the come in and dig a well on this corner of the corner of Hope and Shear Road." And he said, "Son, I'll tell you something." And we went there. They gave us these beautiful plans of this magnificent home. I'm going, "Oh my goodness, are you kidding me?" My dad says, "Son, you're not going to have to do what I and your mom had to do. I'm going to put you in a nice home." Then he said, "I want you to know that I will give you all the profits for the first 2 years." He said, "Man, your mom and I struggled when we first started farming, when I took over the farm from Grandpa." He said, "That ain't going to happen to you, boy." Man, we had it. I mean, it was right there, brother. I mean, hallelujah and the whole thing. Ha ha, woo! So I came home. And we had set the date, March 1st. We're going to move back to Michigan, and the house was going to be built, and all on and on and on. You know, it'd take about 6 months, and I don't know, 6 months anyway. I got back to Minnesota, and Bernie Fry, my father-in-law, I said, "You know, Dad," I said, "you know what we're going to do? This is what we're going to do." And he says, "Okay." He says, "I want God's perfect will for your life, and I know your dad wants that." And I said, "Absolutely." I says, "So you know what that rascal did? For the next 3 Sundays, he preached on the will of God for your life. Because he knew that I was crying and bawling. I was saying, 'Dear God, I got it. I don't want to make a move if that's not where I'm going.' Hey, listen, this thing about God to me is a big thing. Even when I was a little 22-year-old boy, left behind here, I want to make sure that I didn't make a move that God wasn't in it. You got that? Boy, you make a move and God's not in it, it'll cost you a lot. It'll cost you more than money." So, the last Sunday he preached was January 17th, 1971. And he said, "Knowing the will of God really is not God putting a dart in a place on a map." He said, "Knowing God's will is you're willing to step by step, day into day, you're willing to do what God leads you to do." Man, that just clicked with me. I said, "That's it." Came up with my father-in-law and I said, "Boy, Dad," I said, "that really hit it. You know what? I'm just going to do it day by day." And one of my youth group kids came up and said, "Hey, Brother Shear, what's..." You know, and I told him, I said, "Larry, I said, God has really revealed this. The joy of your life is to do what God tells you to do every day. And He'll lead you to things." That afternoon, my father-in-law got a call from the Delavan Baptist Church in Delavan, Minnesota. They had 8 people. I didn't know this when I took the church. They were deeply in debt. I mean, really deeply in debt. And he said, "Hey, you want to go over and preach at the Delavan Baptist Church tonight? And when you get done, just wait for me because they're going to close this church down. They're going to sell all the assets and everything." So I said, "Sure." So Marsh and I and little Chad went over there and we had a time. It was just fun. Just fun. And man, I preached and sang. We just had a good time, amen? And so it was over. We came back and sat in the back of the church. We were good Baptists, amen? And we sat in the back. And my father-in-law came in. And this is what he says. He says, okay, folks, what do you want to do? And this lady says to me, Sheldon, will you be our pastor? And you know what dumb Sheldon said? Sure! Yeah, sounds like fun to me. Boy, I didn't know what I was getting into, but I said, sure. And my father-in-law says, you want to pastor this church? I said, sure. This is January. I'm supposed to move to Michigan in March. I felt the call of God on my heart so deeply. The next day I called my dad and I said, Dad, God's called me. I said, I've just accepted a pastorate in Delaware, Minnesota. And this is what he said, son, I want you to do what God wants you to do. When I was growing up, my dad said, either you come home or I'm going to sell this farm. And he said, I was pressured into doing what I didn't want to do, though I've enjoyed it. He said, son, I want you to do what God wants you to do. Boy, you talk about the relief that came off my heart, amen. Remember now, we've already seen the architect. We've already seen everything is rolling. And my dad had to pull the plug on that. Let me tell you something. I wouldn't change what God has allowed me to do in the last 45 years for anything. I have been in some of the biggest fights that I have ever seen in my life. Worse than football, I'll tell you that. Some old cantankerous deacon, some old cantankerous deacon's wife, some old somebody, some old so-and-so. I mean to tell you who we've been in it. Amen? But I'm going to tell you something. In all that, I know that this is what God wants me to do. I keep hearing these people say, when you retire, I says, well, when God takes away my tools and I can't think straight anymore. And when I be a hindrance to the church instead of a help to the church, and when I be a burden instead of an encourager to my church and church people, then I'm ready. But I ain't ready yet. I still got a voice. I can still shout you down, amen. This old farm boy to learn from a John Deere tractor that I used to be on, and I could yell loud. Hey, Dad! What? I learned how to yell. I just want to serve God. And I want you to get this. I want you to get that this is some of the sweetest things in the Word of God. God said, hey, prove me. Hey. You consider first the kingdom of God? Let me tell you something. I was going to be a deputy sheriff when I went home, plus farm that farm. Guess what I get to do now? I get to be a chaplain. That's what I give my off time to. All of you ought to have you ought to give something back to your community. God has allowed me to be assistant fire chief, president of firefighters. God has allowed me so many fun things in life and pastoring, loving people that God has given these little children that come and tackle me and love me. I cannot tell you the blessing that God given this old preacher. Now let me tell you something. When you seek first the kingdom of God, he said all these things will be added unto you. You say, but I'm just a poor old widow. You keep giving your tithe? You say, that's not fair. Poor lady. Let me tell you something. It's not fair to do what God tells you to do. And if God promises you, he will take care of you. You say, but preacher, we're just starting out in life. We're just married. We don't have no money. Well, then don't go buying all your iPhones, iPads, IIIs, and all that other stuff. Why don't you just do what God wants you to do? You can't have what I have. My wife and I, for 45 years, have cured all this junk in our house. You can't have what I have. I waited until I was 64 years old to get a motorcycle. You say, but you got a motorcycle. Yeah, I got one. Yeah, I do. In fact, I got a couple of them. I'll guarantee you, when I was pastoring the Delavan Baptist Church and working three jobs, plus pastoring that church, I was looking for every penny in a car seat and every sofa. And I wasn't buying motorcycles. Cool it. Be cool. God will take care of you. He'll supply your needs. Answer your prayers. In fact, you do what He tells you to do. He said, I'll give you the desire to your heart. I like that one. See, I'm spoiled. I learned to be spoiled. I had three sisters, and you just met them. And they spoiled me. They still spoil me. I was the only boy. My mom said, you're my favorite son. Don't laugh at that. I still believe it. I was so spoiled, I stunk. I'm telling you. My sisters would do anything for me. My mom would do anything for me. My dad would do anything for me. But I've got something better than that. I have a Heavenly Father that does more for me, has done more for me than my earthly father ever thought about doing. And my mother and my sisters. I will tell you something. There's just something about serving God. I'm not talking about being a preacher. I'm talking about serving God. Every one of you is responsible to serve God. Shame on you and, well, I'm just too old to serve God. No, you're not. No, you're not. Well, I'm just too young. No, you're not. God has given everybody an opportunity to serve Him in some way, some capacity. You might not be able to stand behind this pulpit and preach. You may not be able to teach the Sunday school class. You may not be able to play that piano or that organ or that beautiful trumpet that we just heard or that viola we heard. But God has something for all of us. Secondly, in proving God, we will receive much more in this present world as well as the promised heaven. This is God's law. You do His work. You do His will. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor and love, which ye have showed towards His name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. God says, I won't forget about it. God says, I'm not beholden to nobody. I pay my bills. I take care of what I said I'm going to take care of. I do what the Bible says I'm going to do because that's true. The problem is a lot of people do stuff because they become grumble. They gripe and complain. Well, it's not fair. I'm cleaning this church. Nobody else will help me. You ought to thank God. Do you think God is not watching you, dear sister or dear brother?
Right.
Quit your griping about it. Thank God you're the only one doing it because God said, yeah, I'll just give him some more. Yep, I'll just give him more. Yep, I'll just give him more. I think they need a new baby. I think their family needs a new car. I'll take care of them. Read it. Is this Bible or not? I'm not talking about some false give to prosperity business. I'm just saying, hey, God said, hey, bring the tithe in here. Bring the 10%. You keep the 90. Go ahead. But just bring me my tithe. Because that proves to Him that you believe in Him. That proves to Him that you trust Him. Don't act like an atheist. Good night. Does God love you? Oh yeah, God loves me. Well, then prove it. He not only is going to give you rewards in heaven, but He promised here on earth. He says, chapter 18, verse 30, Luke, it says, receive manifold more in this present time. Psalm 84, verse 12, blessed is the man that trusts in me. Just as I watched my father farming, he prayed, he plowed, he disked, he dragged, he fertilized, he planted, he cultivated, and then months later, he reaped the golden grain. Sometimes things take a little longer to ripen. Well, I gave that 10% last week. Didn't get nothing for it. You just lost the blessing. You're just saying, God, I don't believe you. You're a liar. I don't like people calling me that. You like people calling you that? You stinking liar. Whoa, dude. That's almost as bad as spitting in my face. Again, the principle rings out. Honor the Lord with thy, with all that you do brings blessing. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. And they press out with new wine. 1985, I was up in Kalispell preaching for Brother Blackburn. Some of you remember Brother Gene Blackburn. He went to be his Lord a while back. It used to be called Gospel Baptist Church. Now they changed it to Victory Baptist Church up in Kalispell. And I was given the opportunity during the day. I had a couple hours. And a friend of mine, Bob, said, "Hey, preacher, how'd you like to go perch jerking?" Perch, fish. I said, "They're the best eating fish in the world." I said, "Are you kidding me? Come on." And so we arrived at a small lake, unloaded canoe, paddled out this fellow's favorite perch honey hole, and I caught the first fish just like that. He said, "Let me see that nice fish." And I went like that. He took it and threw it back in the water. I said, I politely said to him, but I did not want to be polite with him. I want to say, "What in the world are you idiot doing?" When I grew up with this. If you caught it, you ate it, amen. You don't throw nothing back. He looked at me and said, "Don't you know it all? I always throw back the first fish." And I said, "No, I don't know you always throw back the first fish." You see, according to NASA statistics, most Christians act like I did. When I'm fishing, every fish I catch, I figure it was mine. But once in a while, you run into a Bob that politely grabs your fish and takes it out of your control and gives it back. Boy, that was a little uncomfortable. When God gives you something great, we normally grab it and hang on to it and afraid that that's the only one we're going to get. But His Word is true and His Word is accurate and the Word of God is without doubt, factual. You ask me, did you catch any more? Yeah, we caught about 25. We threw back the little ones and they were at least 16 inches and bigger. Perch. But I must confess to you, I wanted to throw him out of the canoe when he threw my first fish back. And there's a lot of Christians today who say, "I'm going to get rid of that preacher. I don't like him talking about money." I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about your heart attitude towards God. Whether it be money or whatever, anything else. God said, "Hey, bring to the storehouse 10% of what you got during the week. That's all I want." Now, here's some big biblical principles. Abraham, why do you have that only true son of yours tied up at the altar? "Oh, I'm just doing what God told me. I'm just proving God." Moses, what are you doing out here in the backside of the desert? You had 40 years in the hall of dedication. "Now I'm out proving God." Hey, Moses, what are you doing now? You say that you've been waiting for Pharaoh to turn the Israelites loose. What? Oh, you're just proving God. Job, why are you sitting in the ash heaps of the community dump and praising God? Job, according to the news, you have had everything taken away from you. All your wealth, all your children have been killed. Your wife lost her respect of God and you. Now you don't even have your own health. Why are you here? I mean, what are you waiting for? Oh, you're just waiting on the Redeemer and proving your blessed God. Noah, you poor old soul. You and your boys have been working on this boat for 120 years, and there's still no rain. Are you kidding me? You preached and preached righteousness, and no one has got saved. Sir, my boys got saved. in their lives. And I've been faithful to the Lord. And so is my wife. And I'm going to keep preaching righteousness till the rain falls. And I'm here for the long haul. I am staying with it. And I'm going to prove God. Joseph! Man, you had a dream in your life and your daddy was told you that you're crazy. When you told your dad that you had he put that fancy coat on you and said that everybody's going to bow down to you and your incense, and you incense them about you telling that story. What are you going around in the pit without your beautiful coat? Well, I'm just waiting for God. Because God's going to use this in my life. Joseph, what are you doing in the prison? Boy, you're in a pickle now. How can this be God's will for your life? How will you ever get out of this mess? How can God make your dream come true where your father and your brother is going to bow down to you? Oh, I'm not going to just trust God. He makes no mistakes. He will never fail me. I'm going to stay here and trust God. Joseph, what's the deal? You're still in prison. Didn't you interpret the dream for the king's cupbearer and the king's baker? And did not the cupbearer forget you? Isn't he back to work for the king? You're still in prison? What's that? It's all in God's timing. You're going to still trust God? Rahab, you hid those two Hebrew spies. And now you're going to do what? Put scarlet cord on your window? You're what? You're waiting for your salvation? Samuel, little boy, go back to bed. Yes, Eli. You want me? No, son, go back to bed. Well, Eli, go back to bed. Third time. Eli says, you better answer that phone because it's God. David, what's this about this king? You killed the giant for him. Why are you hiding out here? I'm just waiting, trusting God. David, what's the deal here? These men that are with you, these ragtag army soldiers are with you, they are so upset about losing their family, they're going to kill you. I said, no, I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord here. It's okay. David, didn't Samuel say that you were going to be the king? Yeah, in his time, not my time. I'm just waiting for God. Some of you people today think it's going to happen right now. I'll tell you what, 40 years is a long time sometimes. 30 years, 10 years, 5 years. Elijah, hey, is that you? What are you doing down there at the brook? You're waiting for what? What? Crows, ravens to feed you? Don't you know they're ceremonial unclean? Hey, I'm just doing what God told me, though. Leave it alone. I'm just waiting for God. I'm just proving God. Hey, Daniel. Boy, that king's meat and that drink sure looks good. Sure smells good. After all those years of drought of Jerusalem. Why do you got to be so stinking stubborn, Daniel? Why don't you just eat and drink it? Man, don't cause no waves. Just do what you're told to do. Oh, yeah, I know. Don't tell me. You're just going to prove God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, man, you guys are in trouble. Why didn't you bow down? Just bow down to that idol. They're going to give you another chance. When the music plays, just bow. Come on, guys. What? You're going to once again prove God? Come on, they're heating that furnace 7 times hotter. Look, Nebuchadnezzar just called for the mightiest guards in the nation. They all, they're perished in the heat. They died at the mouth of the furnace, the heat. Yeah, we're going to still go through this. We're going to prove God. Little lad, why in the world would you give your 3 loaves and 2 fishes that your mama made for you? You're going to get awful hungry. What's your mama going to save? Well, I'm just going to prove God. Barnabas, why'd you sell all your property and give it to the money to the apostles? You just want to prove God? Paul and Silas, what on earth are you doing in jail, singing and praising and praying? And you're all bound up in stocks? Yeah, we're just praising the Lord. Sounds pretty goofy, doesn't it? Doesn't it? All these stories sound off the wall. Are you kidding me? Hurry. I'm reminded of the story told by a family that never gave much at church. Dad criticized the preacher's sermons. Mother thought the organist made lots of mistakes. Sister didn't like the choir singing, but they all shut up at the table when little Joey said, "I thought it was a pretty good show for a nickel." I will guarantee you, on your deathbed, you'll never forget or never regret what you brought. The more you bring, the more you invest, the more you bring to the Lord, the more you show your church that you love your church, the more you get to bring. Let me remind you, we are not giving to a church per se. We are not giving to the pastor. We're not giving to the building program. We're not giving to missions. But we are bringing the tithes, his tithes, that are rightfully God's to this church. Probably ought to have the ushers go one more time, take the offering tonight. I'll tell you what. I was at it was called Deaconess at that time. I was at the Deaconess Hospital and family known about me, and they asked me to come and pray with them. Dad was going in for surgery. And as they were wheeling, I just had a word prayer with them. And they started wheeling him in. He said to his wife, "Wifey, honey, wait, just a minute." I said, "Wifey, have we paid the tithe yet? Have we paid the tithe?" That was the last thing. That little old man, in 1.5 hour, went to see Jesus. But he wanted to make sure that his tithes were paid. Tithes get you to heaven? No! Oh, they don't get you to heaven. You're just proving God. You're saying, "I believe that God has told me what to do, and I'm going to do it without question." Years ago, there was a man that was ran a mill, a big flour mill, down in Illinois, and he was one of the members of the church. He was a deacon of the church, and there's a farmer from the church that they were just having a terrible time financially. It seemed like nothing would grow except for thistles and weeds. And the mill guy said, "Can I do something with your grain? I promise you I will take care of it, but can I do something with your grain?" And the farmer says, "Well, we don't have much, but sure you can." What that elevator guy did, he sold the grain that he had and took the tithe. Hung on to the tithe. And then brought it to church and put that guy's name on it. Guy didn't know it, but put his name on it. Guy brought his grain in again. The next, we went from wheat to oats, brought the oats in. Went to beans. Went to corn. Every time he just put it in. Next year the guy had a bumper crop. And he said to the mill guy, he said, "I don't understand this." He says, "You said that you were going to do something. What did you do?" He said, "I want to show you something." The day he was at church, he opened up the church books. I saw $1,000, $1,800. He said, "I didn't give that." He said, "Yes, you did. $1,000 and $900, something like that." He said, "How's your crops this year?" He says, "Well, we've combined the wheats and the oats already, and I've got about 5 to 6 times more bushels than I've ever had on that farm." He said, "I told you I would take care of it." He said, "I won't tell you what I did. I found out how much you got, and I took 10% out of that, and I wrote it right to the church." And he says, "Now, do you believe in tithing or not?" He says, "Brother, I'll never stop tithing again, brother." That's just, sometimes somebody has to take the fish off your line. And all of a sudden, you are taught. Father, I beg you tonight that this would not be a waste of time. This would be a blessing to our people to understand that you deal with simple things. But those simple things are great things when it comes to you. Lord God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. May we be very careful about how we handle your money. That we would be very careful that we do not squander and take that which is yours. Lord, speak to our people's hearts tonight. Lord, I pray if there's any here today not sure they're saved, that today would be the day they accept you as their Savior. There'd be anyone here today that just they're away from God and they need to get back to God. I pray tonight that they would come to this altar and come before you and confess their sins. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask the pianist to play. You come. You're here tonight. Let's all stand. You're here tonight. You say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I want to know that tonight." Why don't you come right now? You're here tonight. You say, "Preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and Believer's baptism." Why don't you come? That's down in the water and up out of the water. You're here tonight and you say, "Preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. You know, we just found a good home." Maybe you're here tonight and say, "You know, preacher, there are some things that God was speaking about. It may not be tithing. It may be something else. It's nobody's business what you come up here and pray at the altar." I just ask you, are you right with God? Are there things in your life? Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe it true? Is it the place that you go to say, "This is what the Bible says"? Your choice. You have a free will. I can't drag you down here. Don't want to. I won't do it. I won't make you tithe. I'll guarantee one thing. I know someone who can certainly tap your resources. And I heard one man say, "You know what? I didn't tithe for years, but there's always something going on. Always something I had to fix. Always something." He said, "I started tithing and those things quit." Well, God says, either you give me the tithes, I'll take my tithes. It's mine, none of yours. The air that you breathe, the water you drink, that's all God's. This world that you walk on, it's God's. He is our creator. He's also our sustainer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you for the opportunity that we can bring forth the Word of God. Help us, Lord God, I pray that we'd be very careful how we treat the finances that are yours. Really, every breath that we have is from you. It's not what we have done. So, Lord God, we understand that we owe everything to you. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. Help us to be more like you. Help us be very careful how we would look at things. Help us to take this Word of God for truth and bind it upon our hearts, and that we walk like you and for you. Lord, bless this service now. Thank you for the food we're about to eat over in building number 2. Thank you all that you're going to help over there. Pray God that you bless. In Jesus' name, amen.